Recently, I was reading a book by the name of All In, which is about being all in with Jesus. And in the book, the author, Mark Batterson, tells about a hiking expedition that he and his son take into the Grand Canyon. When they got there, I don't know if you've been to the Grand Canyon before, but this is one of the scenes you would see. I haven't been there, so it's on my bucket list to do. But they just looked at the scene, took it in, stared for an hour, trying to take in the awesomeness of God's creation. But they weren't there just to look. They were there also to hike down into the canyon. So by dawn the next morning, they were on the trail. Now, if you can just imagine going downhill all day long, pack on your back, carrying your food and water. For those who maybe have a little bit of joint issues, you know, you imagine your knees and your muscles beginning to get tired on you. Their destination was the canyon floor, and about dusk, they stumbled into camp, just enough energy to eat, fall into bed and go to sleep, and then up the next morning at 4:30. Now, the second day, they were already somewhat paralyzed from the first day, and now they were facing uphill all day. They chose the shortest trail, which maybe sounds pretty smart, but they're going uphill, remember. The short trail is also the steep trail, right? So steep, all the way up. They decided that they had made a poor choice before too long. But by the late afternoon, they came on this series of switchbacks, the last leg of the climb. And as they were zigzagging back and forth on these switchbacks, the observation deck on the south rim came into view, and scores of sightseers there looking out at the view similar to what they had seen a couple of nights before. Now, Mark couldn't help but think of the contrast between he and his son, who were parched and bone-weary, and these sightseers who looked like they had just stepped out of an air-conditioned hotel room. He, for an instant, felt sorry for himself, but just as quickly, he felt sorry for them, because while they were seeing it, they're really missing it at the same time, because you can't really see what you haven't experienced. And that's when he came up with the name Rim Hugger, for those who stand at the rim and look instead of hiking into the canyon. Well, they joined the Rim Huggers on the observation deck looking at the scene, and as he stood shoulder to shoulder with these Rim Huggers, he thought, you know, some of them probably know as much or more than I do about the Grand Canyon from what they've read in brochures and travel guides. And they might be able to talk the talk, but only hikers walk the walk. It made him think about the difference between those who know about God and those who know God. A huge difference. He thought maybe as large as the south rim to the north rim and all the canyon in between. His estimation was that most Christians are rim huggers. What do you think?
Yikes. Most Christians are rim huggers. That's what we're talking about this morning is, are we in this room, are we just watching Christianity from the sidelines? Are we on the hike with Jesus? But before we go any further with this analogy, I want to talk about what's our Grand Canyon. What's the attraction that draws people into this room in the first place? So we see that Christianity draws a lot of people, some of them just spectators, though. And I think a big piece of it is this theme that we see in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We think about what draws spectators to Christianity. What's the main spectacular attraction? I think it's this idea of amazing grace. That just like when you're standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon, you think, that's so big, it's so incredible, it's so impossible. When you think back to all of your past and all of your mistakes, and you think about a God who has the authority and the love to let all of that go and say, I'm not going to hold any of that against you, and we can start fresh this morning at 11:33 or whatever the exact time is. We can start fresh right now. When you see that, you think that's so spectacular. That's so incredible, and it draws a lot of folks to take an interest in Christianity. But some of them just take kind of a tourist interest or a rim hugger interest in Christianity. We got this idea of incredible grace. We like that. But how many of us are actually getting our hiking boots on and saying, I'm going to go live this life with Jesus. I'm going to go make my life about Jesus. I'm going to go through the pain or the hardship. So Wayne, talk to us about what's the difference between a rim hugger and a hiker in Christianity. What does it mean to live that life with God?
Okay, we look on to verse 10 here in Ephesians. And it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Have you ever thought of yourself as God's gift to mankind? Some of us maybe have tried to portray ourselves that way. There he is again. But what is this verse saying, if not that? It talks about having become God's new creation, created in Christ. We are created for the purpose of doing good works. And who benefits from those works? Other people, mankind. If that describes you, God's new creation, doing the works that he has planned for you to do, are you not God's gift to mankind? And then look at the next part. He says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, isn't that saying that before there was a me and before there was a you, God had already planned good works for us to do? Already planned, particular, the purpose that he had for us. It's as if he had marked in advance the trail that we were to hike, a trail with our name on it, in fact, that he had planned for us to do. Do you have some?
Yeah, no, just this, the Wayne Bandy Trail, you know, but this idea that so God's marked out a path for Wayne before he ever got started with Jesus, for Wayne to go on particularly. Not necessarily the exact same spot for everybody else. So, yeah, tell us a little more about that. What is that like, Wayne?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be anxious to put some other names up there, too. All right. Well, if we think about that trail that he has for us, we've got the question before us. Am I a rim hugger or am I a hiker? And how do you know the difference? If I'm a rim hugger, for instance, those who were hugging the rim of the Grand Canyon had come, they had seen, they had experienced, maybe an emotional experience, and then they had left, went back to the hotel, went on with their other plans, eventually returned home. That experience stayed with them for a while, but it began to fade. Some may go back to the canyon and experience it again, but they soon go back home. Because that's not who they are. Their identity is not there at the canyon. The hiker, on the other hand, he makes his descent into the canyon, and the further he goes, the more he sees of the canyon, the less he sees of anything else. And as he continues to hike into the canyon, he gets to the canyon floor, and he is now totally surrounded by the canyon. If he chooses to stay, he begins to eat, sleep, and live canyon life. And over time, he begins to no longer think of himself as a rim hugger. He's now a canyon dweller. He has a new identity. And that identity is one of the most striking distinctions between the hugger and the hiker. For the hugger, it is my life plus Christ. But for the hiker, Christ is my life. That's my new identity.
So as you hear Wayne talk through that about, is Christ a piece of my life or is he my whole life? As Wayne and I were discussing it, something my small group guys know I'm always doing, Evans and my small group could tell you this, of whenever they're setting a goal, I'm always pushing them up, but be specific. Tell us what you're specifically going to do. So I asked that kind of to Wayne. Wayne's got a list of kind of specific checkpoints for us to see, like, am I just a rim hugger? Am I just a spectator? Or am I actually on this journey with Jesus? So here's the first one. You might be a rim hugger if my life in Christ is pretty much limited to Sundays. So explain that one
okay.
to us.
In the book of James, James talks about a man who looks at a mirror, he sees his reflection, and then he walks away, and he forgets all about it. What did he see? Maybe he needed to shave. Maybe he needed to wash his face. Whatever it was, he just went away. He didn't do it. He was comparing this to the person who goes to church, who looks at Scripture, He sees his character reflected back to him, and he does nothing about it. He just walks away. Come, look on Sunday, and then go on and about life.
Okay. I might be a rim hugger if I know more about Christ than I've experienced in Christ.
And you know what this makes me think of is that parable that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. If you remember, in the parable, a man was traveling a road. He was attacked by thieves, beaten and robbed, and left by the side of the road, bloodied and beaten. In a little bit, a couple of religious types came along, and they saw the man beaten and in need, but they had a Bible study to go to, and they didn't have time, so they were sure somebody else would come along and help the man, so they went on to their Bible study. Now, that's not exactly the way Jesus told the parable, similar. And I would be the last to criticize anyone for going to a Bible study, and yet it should not keep us from doing what we've already learned and what Jesus has taught us through previous Bible studies.
Okay. So I might be a rim hugger if my life in Christ is lived vicariously. So Ooh. Making me say the big words today.
All
so
right.
Explain that one to us, Wayne.
Big word for the day. My Sunday school class got a big word today, too. The big word for today, vicarious, just simply means this. I live the experiences of other people in my mind. Okay? Now, let's imagine a fictional person this morning. His name is Joe. Any Joes in here? It's not about you, if there are. Joe is a part of the Maywood family. He's proud of all the good work that's going on at Maywood by the good people of Maywood. He gets excited about the testimonies of those who have found new life here at Maywood. But Joe is not a participant. He's not really involved in those good works. But because he's a part of the Maywood family, he feels just like he's as involved as anybody else. But he's living out the experiences of other people in his mind.
Yeah, if you were here last week, Brian English was preaching about how fear of God conquered his fear of what other people thought about him, yeah. And fear of being a nobody. And if you heard that story and you got all excited, then that was great. But if it didn't change you to be more fearless this week and to follow God in a new way, then it was just a vicarious experience. You just kind of lived Brian's story, but you didn't actually change. So go to this next one. I might be a rim hugger if my attitude towards life in Christ has not changed significantly over time.
Yeah. This describes me in my younger adult years. My idea of life in Christ was going to church and then going to church and then going to church. I was there as much as the church had anything going on. But aside from church, I had a life to live. I had things to do. I had accomplishments to achieve. And so the two never really connected that much. And I went like that for a number of years. One time our church had a missionary speaker, a guy that I knew, a guy that I thought had it all together. And yet in his testimony, he shared how even after he became a missionary, he was just going through the motions. He was doing all the right things, but for the wrong reasons. He was not truly walking with Christ. And I knew he was describing me as well. And I knew that I had it all wrong. And it put me on a journey to find that trail that God had marked for me and those good works that he had for me to do.
Okay. So our next one. I might be a rim hugger if the way I relate to others has not changed significantly over time.
Okay, most of us, I think, when we first come to Christ, we make some rather significant changes in the way we, some of our behaviors, but also in the way we relate to other people. There are some rather obvious ones usually at that point for us, things that we need to change in our life. But as time goes on, and we get some of those more obvious ones out of the way, we bump up against some of Christ's teachings that become just a little more difficult. And does my life continue to adjust as I continue that walk with Christ? Or am I still back here? For instance, Jesus said that 7 times to forgive a guy wasn't enough. We should forgive indefinitely, right? Or love your enemies. Oh, what about that? How do you do that? And we look at some of these difficult teachings and we think, that's unreasonable. How am I supposed to do that? And we just maybe walk away from it. But are we adjusting to those teachings of Christ in our life?
I might be a rim hugger if I rarely or infrequently give away my time, share my faith, or give my money to help others.
Yeah. In 1 John, John tells about a Christian brother who saw a man in need, but he had no compassion. He had the means to help the man, but he had no compassion to help him. And John asked a question, how can this man say he loves God and he has no compassion? An important word in that verse is the word saw. He saw the man in need. It wasn't just a glance. He didn't just pass by and just happen, guy just happened to be there. He saw, he looked, he noticed the need. It's as if God had placed this need in front of him intentionally. God had an appointment for him, but he went on. He ignored it. We have lots of needs around us, so much so we can become calloused by it. We can become insensitive to the needs of others with so many. But God has appointments for us that he intends for us to keep. I had an experience of this nature a couple of weeks ago. I went to my mailbox checking my mail, and I found a letter in the box that was addressed to my neighbor. So I thought, well, I'll just take it across and stick it in his box. So I went across, put it in his box, and as I did, another neighbor was coming out of her apartment, taking something to the curb, and we saw each other, greeted, and I did the polite thing, and I said, how you doing? She didn't do the polite thing and say, oh, I'm just fine. She said, I'm not so good. And then I thought, okay, do I ask the next question? Do I really want to know what's going on here? But I was reminded that I was not there by accident. If it weren't for the letter, I'd have been back in the house on about my own business. But God had an appointment for me, and he reminded me of that. And so I responded to that need.
Yeah, no, that is a great example, Wayne, of just God's paving the path for us. And are we taking advantage of those opportunities that he's given us throughout the day? Our last one, we've been talking about if, or you might be. This last one, a little heavy hitter. I am a rim hugger. I am just a spectator. If I'm not hiking the trail, Jesus has already marked out for me to do good works.
Yeah. What else can you say, really? If I'm not hiking the trail, then I must be a hugger, right? If I'm not a hiker, I'm a hugger. A rim hugger, that is. I think the important thing here is, am I seeking to find the trail? Maybe I'm not yet hiking the trail, but am I looking for the trail that God has already marked for me?
And that's the real question that's facing each one of us every day as we get to choose, is today about me or is today about God? Do I believe that God has a path for me to go on? And if I believe that, am I willing to submit to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to obey? But you might be at that spot today. Maybe Wayne has done a good job of convincing you. You're like, okay, I'm ready to stop being a rim hugger. I'm ready to just get off of this little metal stand and go out and blaze a new trail with God. If you're at that spot, I do have a little story of caution for you. It's a hiking story as well. So my wife and I, a couple years ago, we decided to go to Colorado. We rented a car, drove out to Colorado, and we got this little guidebook. I took a picture of the map because I didn't want to lug the guidebook on this hike. But I thought, oh, this would be a perfect hike for Christy and I to go on. Had all these little waterfalls around on the hike because there's this river that you're following. So we're up in the Rocky Mountains, we're at Rocky Mountain National Park. And the end of the hike that we were supposed to go to, which I guess that kind of gives away a little bit of the ending, but the end that we were supposed to get to had a big, beautiful waterfall at the end. And so I thought, this would be perfect to take Chrissy on. And it's about 5 miles. And I thought, but we're young. We can handle that. So we set off and start hiking. And there's all of these little waterfalls along the way. So this is us, like, early in the trip. We're excited. It's pretty warm outside. Even though we're in the mountains, we kind of, Chrissy had dressed in, like, long sleeves and pants and stuff. But it turned out to be really hot where we were at. And as we're hiking up further and further, I looked through all of our pictures of the trip earlier this week, and this is the last one I could find, even though it's really early on the hike. And that's because pretty quickly we were out of the picture-taking mood, and then even out of, like, the smiling mood, I think, pretty fast. And so we kept going and kept going, and at first there were a bunch of people around. Pretty soon there weren't very many people around, and it just started doing these switchbacks of just rock back and forth. And we're having to stop, you know, every few little flights of these rocks, and we're just, because we're up super high and we're not used to the altitude. And about, not all the way up, but at some point along the way, we get passed by this lady who easily 30 years older than Chrissy and I, either one of us. And she's got these little hiking poles, and she's shorter than either one of us, and she is just trucking her way, like, straight up past us. We're, like, sitting on the side, and she says good morning or something to us. It's just like, oh, man. She was in a good mood. She was in the right trail for her, and it was not the right place for us. So at some point, we're trying to go on, and I'm thinking, surely that waterfall's got to be close. Surely we've gone pretty far. At one point, Chrissy literally just sits down and, like, pulls her arms. Like, she's like, I'm not going any further. She's like, if you want to keep going, you can. And so I was convinced it's going to be right around the next corner. So I went a little bit ahead, and I was like, nope, it's not around the next corner. So I came back. We went down off the mountain. Our marriage survived. So that was good. But we weren't really on the right trail for us. We just kind of ignorantly thought, oh, let's go hiking. And we don't know what we're doing. And then we just jumped into it. And so, Wayne, if there's somebody here today who says, I've never been on this journey with God, or I've never been really living it like you guys are talking about today, how do they find the right trail? How do they make better decisions than Chrissy and I did?
I hope you are asking that question. If you are, a great class that we have here at Maywood is the Shape class. In the Shape class, it does that very thing. It not only helps you find the trail that God has already got planned for you, but it helps you get on the right trail and not hike the one that's not going to work out for you. And we do that by looking at how God has made us. If He's made us a certain way, He's done that for a purpose. And that purpose will align with the plan, the good works that He has planned for us. And so we look at the spiritual gifts that He's given us when we first became that new creation, the heart or the passion that He's put in us, the abilities that He's made us with, the personality He's given us, and the experiences that He's allowed in us. And looking at this full shape that God's given us, we have a good clue, a good direction towards the trail that is right for us and that God has already prepared for us. This is one of several classes that are in a special growth track of classes that are designed to help us at whatever hiking experience that we have, or we would say whatever phase of spiritual development that we're in.
So those classes all start September 18th, so that's 3 Sundays from now. So if you wanted to jump into that Shape class, if you wanted to jump into one of these track classes, any of these folks who are up here, Joe, who was speaking earlier, or Wayne, or any of them can help you. But the idea there is to find somebody. You know, if I would have stopped and had a conversation with, like, that super hiker woman before we went up the mountain, it might have gone a little better for us. And that's kind of the opportunity of, like, here's what hiking poles are for, and here's how you use them. These classes can teach you, like, here's the tools to go on that journey with God. So you can get plugged into them, and, like, there's no reason not to start that journey with some help along the way. But if you're here today, and you're like, I'm ready to get started. I'm tired of being a rim hugger. I'm tired of watching other people succeed with Jesus. I want the life change. I want the power and the miracles in my life. If you're at that spot, then you've got to figure out, where does Jesus want you to go? If you try to live up to a family member's expectations, or if you try to live up to your friend's expectations, or even your own best thinking, it's not the trail that Jesus has for you. Jesus wants each one of us to be on a journey with Him. I was talking to Scott downstairs a little bit ago, and he talked about connecting with the source, connecting with God. That's how he was describing God. But how it just clicked for him that Jesus is the conduit to that connection with God. And if you've been looking for how do I have a real connection with God, it's through this journey with Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus has got the path set out for you. And so all you have to do to take that journey with them is to start asking, Jesus, what's the next step for me? Don't run off on your own ideas. But right now during our response time, as the worship team's coming up, you can ask that question of Jesus. Say, Jesus, what's my next step? Maybe for somebody in the room, maybe it's to stop drinking. Maybe for somebody in the room, it's a change of romantic relationship that you're in, or to change something, the way you're treating somebody at work. Maybe it's to read the Bible this afternoon. I can't tell you exactly what Jesus wants you to do next, but if you will ask and listen, I think Jesus will take care of showing that next step to you. So don't let this response time slip away. There's people down front that would love to pray, come alongside you and help you, but you can also respond right where you're at. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this analogy we had today, God, of rim huggers. And Jesus, we don't want to be that. We want to be hikers with you. We want to put our feet where our mouths say that we are. God, I pray you would show us the next right step. Every single person in this room has a next step with you. I pray you would show us that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.